I'm not sure exactly how one follows that story. Boys and girls, now you know why Pastor George has white hair. We better pray. We better pray, hadn't we? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we just thank you today for the privilege to be able to come into your presence in this house of worship together with brothers and sisters, and to be able to sing and lift up praises to you, to be able to encourage one another, and to be able to open your word together. And I pray that your Holy Spirit's presence will be here, and we just thank you for the ways that you are at work. Sometimes we see those ways, and sometimes they're hidden from us, but we know that you are always at work, and we acknowledge and affirm that today, and we just say thank you. We want to cooperate with you in what you're doing. We want to be able to live in the fullest sense in this resurrection life, Lord, and so I pray that you'll open up that doorway for us to be able to step into a new reality today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 24, and if you've been here over the last few weeks or been joining us online, you know that we have been spending some time in Luke chapter 24. We figured that October is a good month to talk about the resurrection, isn't it? Someone say amen to that. And we've been spending this these last 3 weeks together looking at the narrative in Luke chapter 24 of the resurrection of Jesus, but not just the resurrection of Jesus, but also the discovery of that resurrection and the announcement of that resurrection, how people lived in the new resurrection reality as they experienced together things like Jesus coming to them and surprising them with the joy of the knowledge of his resurrection. And we've looked together at how, at basically asked the question, how would our lives be different if we lived each day in connection with the reality of the resurrection of Jesus? What would our daily lives look like if we lived in that resurrection life? What would our work look like? What would our meals look like? Today we're asking the question, what would our friendships look like? And so we talked about how the stepping into the resurrection life is a reality that God calls each one of us to as his followers, and it's a beautiful thing to see that one of the ways that we step into a doorway of wonder is through the Sabbath. As we think about work and rest, we step into wonder, resurrection wonder through the Sabbath. We step into our everyday eating meals through this doorway of the Lord's Supper. We connect with the reality that the Lord's Supper becomes a doorway then for us to just have every meal that we eat together with family and friends be infused with this beauty of what it looks like to live in the reality of the resurrection, that Jesus is alive. That central truth of the Christian faith is a truth that changes everything. We come to that truth with, I think sometimes with without the sense of wonder that really we should have attached to that. Like when we sit down and we think about it, when we engage with what it really means to believe in our hearts with our whole heart and soul that Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Like so many of the other things that we deal with, the things that weigh us down and trouble us, become dim in, you know that song, right? The things of earth become strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When we step into the glory of what it means to live in resurrection life, we realize that it reorients so many things about our world. And we need that right now, don't we? I need that in my own life. And I'm thankful that we can come to our resurrection, we can bring resurrection life into our friendships. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So Luke 24. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking with a friend of mine. One of my best friends lives down about 4 hours away from here. And we were talking about just life. We were texting on a Friday night, and he was texting me just talking about some of the challenges he's been experiencing and some of the difficulties he's been up against in his life and his business with COVID and just the anxiety of the world that we're living in right now. And he said to me, "I've been praying more than I've ever prayed before in my life." And I got my attention when he said that. We were texting back and forth, and what I realized is that our lives for the last year or two have been just, we've been challenged to try to find time together, to try to spend time together. And so I said, you know, what I feel like would be a blessing, I was echoing some of the sentiments that he was sharing. Like, it has been a time of discouragement, and it's been a time of challenge, and for me personally. And so when he was saying some of those things, it found an answering chord in my own heart. And I thought to myself, I just really want to spend time together with him. But I'm like, we live in different worlds right now. And so I just kind of threw it out there. I said, you know what, we should plan a day together. We should make a mandate. We should schedule a bro day. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm saying it, I'm like, we're 4 hours apart from each other. And I said, you know, why don't we drive and meet somewhere in the middle and spend a day together? And it didn't feel like it was an impossibility. And we both started looking at our calendars and moved some things around, crossed some things off. And about a week and a half ago, we met up together. We met in Redmond. And so I got up early. I think I was driving by 6:30 and drove down to Redmond. And he did the same, driving north. And we met together. We had breakfast together. We braved going to a restaurant. It was amazing. And we laughed about some of the crazy stuff that we've been experiencing. We shared a breakfast meal together, and then we drove over to Smith Rock State Park and went for about a 3-hour long hike over there in Smith Rock. And then we didn't really have the day mapped out, but we decided it was after lunchtime and we hadn't eaten yet, so we drove. He ended up driving a little ways north, and we drove up to Madras and had lunch together in Madras before we said goodbye. And it was there in Madras while we were eating our lunch that, I mean, we'd talked about all kinds of things during the course of the day, but we spent the last hour or so that we were there together just talking about deep things, talking about our faith, talking about our journey as dads, talking about the anxieties that we were experiencing and some of the things that threatened to divide our families and our friendship right now. And it was an amazing, looking back on it, I've been reflecting over the last week and a half, and it was an amazing day. It was something that I needed. It was something that my soul needed. Maybe you're hearing me say that, and it's striking some sort of an answering chord in you. Incidentally, the day finished, it was like a great day that ended even with great stuff on the way home, because I just so happened to be driving by the Deschutes River, and I just so happened to have a fly rod in my van, and I stopped at a little place that I like to stop at from time to time, and this is not a fish story, I promise, I'm telling you the truth. I caught the largest trout I've ever caught. No one was there to see it. It was big enough, I couldn't even wrangle it enough to take a picture of it, so you're just going to have to take my word for it. But the day was a splendid day, and it even ended well with catching a big fish. So I'm sharing this on purpose, a little bit of just my own personal journey, because I want to tell you today that I believe that as we look at Luke 24, we're going to see two things. We're going to see, first of all, that God wants us to live out his resurrection life in our friendships. I think God wants us to live out his resurrection life in our friendships. And then secondly, I want to hold this out to you and say that just like the Sabbath is a doorway into resurrection wonder, and the Lord's Supper is a doorway into resurrection meals, I believe that baptism is a doorway into resurrection friendships. Let's look at Luke 24 together. We spent some time last week. Pastor Emily shared with us a really great message looking at the story of the road to Emmaus and Jesus appearing to two of his followers that were walking down the road to Emmaus, and how they didn't recognize him at first, and then it was actually over a meal that as he sat down and broke bread, their eyes were opened. And it says in verse 31 of Luke 24, suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. So we pick the story up there, and I want you to look at what comes next. In verse 32, it says that they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And then it says, within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Think about that day for them. I mean, they've been walking home, the disappointment of seeing Jesus crucified, and then they spent Sabbath in Jerusalem, and then so they decide they're going to go home, and they're walking in disappointment and discouragement. And I imagine there were some disappointed goodbyes as they left their friends, and they're walking, and then Jesus comes. They don't know it's him, and everything changes when their eyes are opened. They realize, and the it says that he disappeared, and then it says that they exclaimed, didn't our hearts burn within us? And within an hour, they were right on their way back to Jerusalem. They just walked 7 miles. They just finished dinner. It was probably getting dark. The night was coming on them, but they had something important that they needed to do. They needed to get with their friends and share the news that Jesus was resurrected. And so it says that they went and they joined up with their friends. Within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter. I love it that resurrection life, resurrection news is announced in the context of friendship. You can't read the stories of Jesus and divorce those stories from the context of friendship. Jesus lived his life in the context of friendship. I mean, from the very beginning of his ministry, he called people around him to be in relationship with him. He lived his life in connection with them. And he called those people his friends. He said in John chapter 15, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you my friends. Jesus called people into the context of friendship, and so he lived his life in the context of friendship. Now, Jesus also went to the cross in the context of friendship. He. If you think about his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was there with his friends. His friends didn't come through for him in that moment. His friends actually deserted him and fled, right? But he came to the cross in the context of friendship. Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus was announced in the context of friendship. So I want us to hold on to that for a moment here and just think about the reality of what it means for Jesus to say that I no longer call you servant, instead I call you my friends. There's a young adult by the name of Annalise Wallman that posted something to her social media this last week. Actually, it was a week and a half ago. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, that is such a significant thought. I wanted to share it with you. So I screenshotted it, and I'm going to read it to you. She says, I listened to a sermon today by Tim Keller on friendship that really challenged me. He talked about how friendship love is the most unnecessary of all loves. Have you thought about that? Friendship love is the most unnecessary of all loves. If it weren't for erotic love, none of us would be conceived. If it weren't for familial love, none of us would have been raised. But friendship is something we choose because we want it. I think it's C.S. Lewis that said, friendship has no survival value. That means, and by the way, this is to say that friendship is the most unnecessary or that friendship has no survival value is not to demean friendship. No. It means that when someone chooses you as a friend, that's an incredibly special thing. They didn't get stuck with you. I mean, my family got stuck with me, right? But my friends, no, they chose me. They didn't get stuck with you, they want you. It also makes Christianity stand out more to me In the Bible, you have God seeking out the friendship love of his creatures. We are literally of no use to him, but he chooses us as his tribe. Have you thought about friendship in that way before? I mean, friendship being the most unnecessary of all loves. But Jesus, in that context, just as you think about that way, think about Jesus' words again. I no longer call you my servants. I'm calling you my friends. No longer are we stuck in that place of not being able to come into the presence of God, but he opened up a way for us to have even an even deeper and closer relationship. And yes, to family, of course, we're adopted as sons and daughters, but even more so that Jesus chooses us to be his friend. I mean, have you ever thought that the fact that God is love, and you think about the fact that, well, of course God loves me because he has to, because he's God. If God is love, then he has to love me, right? But God doesn't have to call us his friends. He chooses to call us his friends. And so in the context of relationships and in the context of resurrection friendships, I want us to think about the reality that we choose to be friends. Now, I want to say something. We are pushed right now in our cultural moment. We are pushed by divisiveness. And that divisiveness, it is impacting friendships, isn't it? It's even impacting family relationships. I've heard from parents and children that they're feeling division around some of the divisive politics that we have. And I can't understand why my mom and dad think this way, or I can't understand why my kids post these things, or I can't. There's divisiveness that comes into our families, and that divisiveness pushes on friendships as well. How many of you have seen, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have seen things on social media that people have posted basically saying, this is what I believe, and if you don't believe this way, you can just delete me as your friend. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. I'm thinking, like, friendship is a choice, and friendship goes beyond the divisiveness of the present cultural moment. We need to say together as Christians that we have things that unite us that are greater than any political ideology that might divide, and we need to be united on what matters, and what matters is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that we can't have a voice in these cultural moments. But the choice to be friends goes above and beyond. My friend and I, we don't always see eye to eye. The friend who I had my bro date with a couple weeks ago, we had a conversation that was direct about that, and both of us affirmed to one another that, you know what? What we have shared over these last 25 years of friendship, no ideology is going to divide us from experiencing the wonder of the friendship that God has gifted us with. And I think that in this moment, it's important for us to say that we choose the friendships that we have. And we choose to take them to a place of deeper than surface. We choose to go beyond the surface stuff, and dare I even say, things that are maybe important but not the most important. And I want to challenge you in your friendships as you seek to live out resurrection life, to make the decision to go deeper in your friendships. In Psalm 47, the psalmist says that deep calls out to deep. You want to have deep friendships? Go deep. Be deep. Like, talk about things that are below surface level, and you'll be surprised at the ways that that will open up new avenues and new ideas in your friendships. And I want to challenge you, if you identify with this idea, then I'm going to challenge you to press into it. Maybe you're in a place where you think to yourself, yeah, but I'm not really like that person, so I don't really want to have spiritual conversations with my friends. Like, I don't want to be that person. I want to challenge you to push back on that. In his book, Living the Resurrection, Eugene Peterson talks about the pervasive problem of professionalism. Professionalism, like there's, like, we're in a place in our society where less and less do things ourselves. I mean, like, how many people from, like, if you're in your 60s and older, how many people from your generation did all of their own work on their cars, you know? But nowadays, how many people do you know who actually are working on their cars themselves? And maybe it's because cars are more complicated and computerized and those kinds of things, but like we tend to have an attitude now of more like, let's let the professionals take care of it. I mean, there's technical competence and skills is that's a good thing. I'm not speaking against that. Like, none of us would probably run into the operating room and grab a scalpel out of the hand of a surgeon and try to do a surgery ourselves, right? So there is a place and a time for professionalism, but in spiritual things, let's not give in to the temptation to embrace like this professionalism that says that we have pastors that do the professional work for us and we don't need to be engaged in spiritual conversations with our, that's totally antithetical to what Scripture teaches. Like that we all are filled with the Holy Spirit and we live in and through Jesus Christ. And in Christ, we have the ability to speak into all of our relationships, every relationship that we have, every person that we come in contact with. We don't need to hire someone else as a professional to do the work of ministry. All of us are called. That's what the priesthood of all believers is all about, right? And so I want to push back on that and say, like, take your relationships deeper and go there and have the spiritual conversations. Talk about the reality of the resurrection. I mean, maybe the conversation just kind of starts with you saying, hey, we've been talking about resurrection life, and I want to know how has this friendship been impacted by the truth of the resurrection of Jesus? Like, let's talk about what's real in our relationships. Maybe that's where you start. But push back on this move toward professionalism that we have and realize that deep calls out to deep. Let's take our friendships deeper. We are a community of resurrection friends. And here's something to think about for a moment. When I look around this room, I see my friends. I see a group of people who I have chosen to do life with. I mean, you should look around the room and realize that this is a group of people that you have chosen to do life with. Check this out. More and more, to do life together in church is a choice. I mean, none of you are here by accident today, right? You actually signed up online to come to church today. You entered into a commitment to be here today, and I want to suggest to you, don't freak out, don't be alarmed by this, but I want to suggest to you that you entered into, with intentionality, a relational contract. Like, we are a community of resurrection friends. Amen. And we've chosen. Like, even if you were a believer, you didn't have to be living that out in the context of Adventist Church, and you didn't have to live that out in the context of Pleasant Valley Church. You made a choice to be here today. You made a choice to come together. I made a choice to come here today. I look around and I see my chosen friends. Yeah? We're a community of resurrection friends. And I want to suggest to you that I said earlier that the things that unite us are stronger than the things that divide us, right? But I want you to think about the reality that the doorway into this community of resurrection friends is baptism. Now, I'm not saying that to be exclusive. I'm saying that to be inclusive. Baptism is an inclusive experience that is the doorway into Christian faith, and it's the doorway into the circle of resurrection friends. Think about this reality. What is the one unifying experience? We think oftentimes in terms of Christianity, general Christianity. What are the differences that we have? But I want you to think for a moment about the way in which the experience of baptism is a uniter in resurrection life for Christians. Did you realize that every Christian denomination, with the exception of one, the Society of Friends, the Quakers, don't practice baptism, but every other Christian denomination, even though we may do it differently, practices baptism as an entry point into the Christian life. And baptism becomes a doorway into resurrection friendships. It's a common denominator with all Christians, because we enter into resurrection life through the process of baptism. This is scriptural teaching. If you look at, go read all the passages, in there are at least six passages that Paul references baptism in connection with death and resurrection of Jesus. Like, when we think about resurrection life, we should automatically think about baptism, because our identification with the resurrected life of Jesus is baptism. I mean, the scripture talks about how that there's one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, right? One Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith. Whose faith is it? Is it my faith? No, it's one faith. It's the faith of Jesus, the only faith that was perfect and completed. And I put my faith in the faith of Jesus. Yeah? So one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. What's the one baptism? I'll tell you, I had not thought about this. I had not thought of, we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's true. But challenge yourself with this for a moment. When Paul talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism, what's the baptism he's referring to? Maybe it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's an important, I mean, certainly that's a life transformation, important baptism. But when it's in the context of the life of Jesus, right? The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, that one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And Jesus was baptized, wasn't he? But is that the one baptism? I'm going to suggest to us, I had never thought about this before about a year ago. I want to suggest to us that the one baptism is the baptism of Jesus that he referred to when he said, there's a baptism with which I must be baptized. And he was pointing to the cross, to his death, to his resurrection. You can't connect, I mean, the cross is inextricably connected with the resurrection, isn't it? And so when we think about like the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, I now see that as the baptism of Jesus, not by water alone, but by the trial of the cross. Jesus, the baptism that we experience is an identification with the cross and the tomb and the resurrection. So baptism becomes this doorway that we enter into resurrection life. It's how we ourselves are identified with the death and resurrection of Jesus. And isn't it interesting that then that baptism becomes the uniter that we experience in resurrection life? It's the thing that unites us most. The experience of baptism is the experience of death and resurrection. We enter into resurrection life through baptism, and that becomes a common experience that all of us have. And by common, I don't mean it's unholy. I mean it's a shared experience that we all have. Like, that's something that we should, it's the bedrock foundation of our identity as friends in this circle of resurrection friends. Like, we remember our baptism, right? We remember our baptism. That's one of the ways that we experience resurrection life, and it's one of the ways that we experience resurrection friendships, is by remembering our baptism together. I'll throw this out. In the context, again, in the context of relationship, what did Jesus do at the Last Supper? He pulled his disciples into a place, and he reminded them that in resurrection friendships, we're called to serve. He did the work of a servant, and he washed their feet. You know, Peter and he had this whole exchange. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, no, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have a part of my kingdom. And Peter said, well, if that's the case, then give me, you know, go all the way. Go ahead and wash my whole body then. And Jesus said, no, the one who's had a bath is already clean, needs to have have his feet washed. And I think we've seen in that as Seventh-day Adventists this idea that it's a reminder back to our baptism when we come and in obedience to the command or the words of Jesus to say, as I've washed your feet, so wash each other's feet. One of the way we remember our baptism is through washing each other's feet in foot washing at communion. We acknowledge the fact that we've been baptized, we've been washed, we've been cleaned, and so that becomes a reminder for us of, isn't it interesting that is the context of all of that is relationship, servant relationships inside of a community of resurrection friends. I want us to recommit ourselves to the truth that baptism is a doorway into resurrection friendships. And I want to say that maybe you're here today and you haven't been baptized. I don't want this to be an awkward thing for you, because again, it's not a thing of exclusion, it's a thing of inclusion. But I want to say to you, if you haven't been baptized, you should do that. You should pray and ask God to lead you and guide you on this issue. But you should engage the fact that Scripture's way that we enter into the resurrection life is by actually experiencing baptism, which is a mini death and resurrection. And we step into resurrection life through that act of baptism. So if you're here and you haven't been baptized, I want to ask you to come and talk with me, and let's make plans for you to enter into baptism. Let's commit ourselves to living within this circle of resurrection friends. Let's commit ourselves to the work of friendship. And sometimes it is work, isn't it? Sometimes our friendships fall into disrepair, and we need to approach them with intentionality. And maybe as I'm talking, you're thinking about a relationship or two that would be a blessing for you to be able to re-engage and go deeper. You know, just because we're social distancing doesn't mean we need to be distant from our friends or let friendships fall away. And so let's commit ourselves to going deeper. Let's commit ourselves to actually letting our friendships be a place where we live out resurrection life, where we have those deeper conversations, where deep can call out to deep. And let's commit ourselves to reminding ourselves about the fact that baptism is the doorway into this circle of Christian resurrection friends. There's a song we're going to sing in closing that has come to mean a lot to us as a congregation. And there's a line in the song right at the very beginning that says, "People come together, strange as neighbors, our hearts are one." And we've been reminded about the water and the blood, and the fact that the baptism of Jesus, the baptism that we experience, is something that makes us one, and we experience a great Christian unity together as resurrection friends. Let's stand together and let's sing this song as an affirmation of that. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you own victory over death and the grave. And right now, Jesus, in a time of the year when the world around us focuses on death, we can focus on the light of living in the reality of your resurrection life. Thank you that that one truth has changed everything for us, Lord, and that we can experience transformed friendships because we live in resurrection life. Father, I pray a prayer right now for all of our friends that are a part of this community of resurrection friends, and friends that aren't, but for whom we can be channels of light and life. Lord, we pray that our friendships would be deepened as we live them in light of the resurrection. We pray that your will would be done in our friendships, that we could be a source of strength and courage, that we could also receive strength and courage as we live in the light of your resurrection. Amen. Lord, we thank you for baptism. We remember today that our baptism was the way that we stepped into resurrection life. And I pray for anyone here who's maybe wrestling with that decision or feeling called to that. And thank you that it's freely available to us, Lord, that we can live in that reality. And I pray for each one of us here that our work, that our meals, that our friendships will be transformed as we live in this light. It's our prayer. And we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.